Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 24. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Let's pray. O Lord, as we look at this passage from your word, we thank you for it. We thank you for the truth that is expressed here. We do pray that you will open this word to our hearts and our minds, that you will cause it to sink into us, that we might be guided by it. May my words be true to yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was down at White Lake last week, and the theme was pirates. For some reason, I don't know why pirates, but what do you think this is? If the theme is pirates, what do you think this is?
Yeah.
It's a map. What kind of a map?
Pirate map.
A what?
Treasure map.
A treasure map. And a treasure map is pretty cool because, yeah, you know, often there's little things that you have to work out, that you have to figure out, that you have to, clues that are there that will guide you, but you need to figure them out first. But you know there's a treasure. You just don't have all the answers until you start to follow the map and go from one spot to another and work out all the clues that are there. Well, in this passage, Paul talks about a mystery. A mystery is a little bit like that treasure map. We know from the beginning of Genesis, from Genesis 3, that God is going to provide somehow to save his people from their sins. And all through the Old Testament, that theme keeps coming back over and over again, that God will save his people from their sins. Exactly how? Well, that's somewhat veiled. When I read through Isaiah, it's not veiled very much at all, but there's something working there. The fact is that as God puts all of these things in the Old Testament scriptures, as he brings his people through all of the things that they go through, whether it's being slaves in Egypt, being brought through the wilderness, being brought into the promised land, it's all a picture of how God is saving his people from their sins. And as we look at the Old Testament, we see clues here and here and here and here of the way that will happen. It's a mystery in the sense that it wasn't fully disclosed until Christ came. God incarnate, God becoming flesh to live his righteous life and then die on the cross for our sins and then to rise again and ascend into heaven and be seated at the right hand of the throne of God, that's all been disclosed now. It's a mystery that now has been disclosed to all of God's saints. So all those who believe in Christ, God shows the way. God reveals the mystery. And Paul talks about that in this passage here. He talks about what that mystery is and what he has been sent to do. I'd like to look at this passage in three parts. First, the context. Secondly, the content. And thirdly, the commission. First, the context. The context is Paul's ministry to the church. He says in 24, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is the church." The context is Paul's ministry to the church. Now, what does he mean by he's filling up what is lacking in what Christ did? Is there anything lacking in what Christ did? I thought Christ's death on the cross was complete, was the fulfillment of all that came before, was that act that would save his people from their sins. But Paul says he's now suffering these things so that he can fill up in his flesh what is lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. Well, when we talk about our English word lacking, we say, well, there's something deficient. Well, I think it's a little better to take this in the sense that is in the Greek of something that comes behind, that follows behind. And here, it's not that Christ's sacrifice wasn't sufficient. It is all sufficient. It was a once-for-all sacrifice that's all sufficient for saving us from our sins. But it hasn't been the kingdom of God has not been consummated at this point. He hasn't yet ushered in the new heavens and the new earth. Things aren't completely borne out at this point in time. Paul has a good sense of what Christ is feeling right now as his church is persecuted. Because as Paul was persecuting the church, what happened? On the road to Damascus, he sees a great light, and what does the voice from that light say? What does Jesus say to him? "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" At that point, Paul understood that his persecution of the body of Christ was still an affliction on Christ himself. That Christ was still suffering with his people because his body was being afflicted. And so when Paul says he's filling up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, he's not saying that there's something deficient about what Christ did, but he's saying that everything's not complete yet, that God is still forming his church, that God is still bringing a people to himself. And while he's doing that, that church is often suffering. That church often has persecutions and afflictions. And Paul knows that because he was one of those who was persecuting the church. Now he's being persecuted as one part of that body of Christ. The context of Paul's ministry opens him up to this idea of the wonder of what Christ has done and the wonder of the mystery being revealed to the Gentiles. And so he moves on to the content of that mystery. Paul is out there preaching the word of God in all its fullness. And then how does he describe that? Verse 26, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. The mystery. It's not that it hasn't been revealed now. If you know Christ, you know the treasure. You know what that mystery was pointing to. It's been disclosed to you. It's been disclosed to all the saints. And what is this mystery? He says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, Christ in you. How can you have Christ in you? I thought he was seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Well, Christ said, told his disciples that once he left, he would send the Comforter. He would send the Holy Spirit to indwell them. In Acts 2, we see the coming of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we know that anyone who is born again, who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, has Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you live that out in your life? Is Christ the center of your life? Is the Holy Spirit what is guiding you as you walk the path of this life? I may have mentioned before the fact that I used, in college I was part of Campus Crusade. And if you're part of Campus Crusade, then you use the four spiritual laws. And many Reformed people have very good objections to using the four spiritual laws the way Campus Crusade does, but I like the image at the end of the four spiritual laws. How do we live our lives? How do we live our lives? Do we live our lives thinking of ourselves first? Do we live our lives thinking of what's most important for me? Do we live our lives with self on the throne of our hearts and our minds and our lives? Or do we live as those who have that mystery revealed, disclosed, who know what Jesus has done in shedding his blood on the cross for our sins, who know that he has then sent the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to lead us into all truth? Do we have our Lord Jesus Christ as the center of our lives, as the one that shows us the path, that shows us where we need to go? Do we rely upon his Spirit to work in us, to reveal his truth to us, and to keep us on that path? The mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Elsewhere, Paul talks about the mystery being revealed and it being the gospel. The fact is that as he looks at what has happened with the people of God, he sees that Jesus Christ came to save his people from their sins, that his death on the cross gave us the righteousness that we need to come into God's presence. It reconciled us to God. We can stand in his presence, and he didn't leave us alone. He sent his Spirit to indwell us so that he could live in us, so that he could guide us into all truth. We need to live with Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives, knowing that his Spirit is in us, guiding us, leading us, and helping us along the way. So the context of this passage is Paul's ministry to the church. The content is the mystery. The mystery revealed. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then he looks at the commission. Now, he started that in verse 25. I have become its servant, the church's servant, by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. And then he started talking about the Word of God in all its fullness and the mystery and Christ in you, the hope of glory. But he says he's been commissioned by God. And then he looks more at what that commission means. Down in verse 28. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Admonishing and teaching with all wisdom. Each of us, as believers, look at God's Word and then help each other to live the life that God wants us to live. And so we admonish and teach with all wisdom. Now the word for admonish is also translated elsewhere as counsel. Nouthateo, so it's the idea that we're bringing God's Word to apply to the lives of other believers. So we look at each other, we care for each other. If you're asked the question, am I my brother's keeper? We remember that the one who said that was, had just killed his brother. And we want to make sure that we understand that yes, we are our brother's keepers. That we need to bring the Word of God and apply it to each other's lives, apply it to our own life, of course, but share with others too, admonish and teach others so that all of us can grow in the truth of God. that all of us can grow in the wisdom that God provides as we look to Him, admonishing and teaching, counseling and teaching with all wisdom, and that wisdom being the wisdom that God supplies by His indwelling Spirit, opening His truth to us, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. So we may present everyone perfect in Christ. So, are you going to be perfect? When I'm done with you after this year, you will be perfect.
What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, this word, yes, it can be perfect. It's the idea of maturity. We better be growing. I'm not going to see perfection in this life. I recognize that. But I better be growing each day, each year.
I better be growing because I'm looking at what God wants of me and what God wants in the lives of those in the church. I had better be growing because God is at work in me, leading me along the path that He has placed before me, and I need to follow Him. Paul says he wants to present everyone perfect, complete, mature in Christ. Elsewhere, he'll talk about how that perfection comes as we look to Christ and as we become more like Him. If we're conformed to the image of the Son, to the image of Christ, that's how we become more mature. That's how we become more complete. And we need to look at each other and admonish and teach each other, counsel and teach each other, so that we can be conformed to the image of Christ. But there's struggles. And Paul recognizes this. Look at verse 29. To this end I labor, struggling with all His energy. Struggling with all His energy, which so powerfully works in me. At one of the campfires, we had this beautiful campfire. Anyone like to build campfires? I mean, you should go to White Lake and build a campfire because they're usually...
You'll have some help, and they're usually pretty good. But we had this beautiful campfire going. But by the time someone got up to speak, it had dwindled down quite a bit. Why? Why would a campfire, or more of a bonfire, but anyway, why would a campfire dwindle down? What's it doing? It's using up all the fuels there, right? It's burning up the wood. All the fuel's getting burned up. And so it's going to dwindle down. I actually like it when it dwindles down. It's pretty cool and everything. But anyway, it dwindles down.
The fuel gets burned up. And there was a time in Rochester where things weren't going real well. One of my kids that where I was working with got put in jail, and then another one was off doing something else that she shouldn't have been doing. And there were a few other things that went on, and then I got an email from someone in the church, and I looked at it and I said, what's the use? I was a little bit despondent. So I shot an email off to the elders and said, well, if you don't want me here anymore, then just let me know. I'm ready to pack it up, pack it in. And before they could respond, I started thinking about what I was doing. And, you know, I said, it's not about me. And, you know, I was making it about me. And that doesn't work, because with me, the fuel gets burned up. That great big bonfire dwindles down to nothing. It gets used up. And I can't make it about me. And whatever I do here, it's not about me. And
Now, that's whether it's good or bad, so you have to recognize that. So give me a break when something bad goes happens.
But don't look to me when something good happens. The fact is that we're all here working together, doing what God has called us to do so that His kingdom can be built. And that's what we want to see happen. But it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God working through me. It's about God working through you. And that's an important thing to remember. And notice what he says here. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy. Not Paul's energy, but God's energy. Working in him, working through him. So that God's kingdom could be built. So that God's plan could be worked out. So that others would come. And so that believers could grow, struggling with all his energy, which he so powerfully works in me. Now, that word powerfully, it made me start thinking about this campfire that's dwindling down.
Well, how could you just give a little shock to the system?
Well, if I had, and I didn't bring any today, sorry. I do like object lessons, but I didn't bring any. If I had some dynamite, and threw that into the campfire, would it look good again? It might even look better. And that's the idea of that word that Paul uses there, that it's the same word that we get dynamite from, which he so powerfully works in me. God can stir us up. Even when we're dwindling down, God can come in. If we recognize that it's his work, then he can come in. And he can work powerfully. He can put in the stick of dynamite that gets us going. He can work powerfully in our midst. But we need to look to him. So realize that it's God who is at work. And it's Christ who is in you, the hope of glory. If you know Jesus Christ, you know that he has made the way for you to come into his presence. He is the firstborn. He's risen from the dead. And we know that we have an eternal life to live for him. But right now, he's living in you by his Spirit. He gives us hope that this life isn't the end. And that he's with us through this life, no matter what comes. Look to him. Carry out the commission that he's given. Counseling and teaching everyone, looking at each other and helping each other to grow with all wisdom so that we can all become mature in Christ, complete in Christ as we grow more and more like him. But make sure you're depending not on your own resources, but on God who is working in you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you work in us, that you work with us, and that you work through us. Help us to rely upon your strength, your power, so that we can see your kingdom built, and each of us might grow to become more mature, more complete, more like our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.